This is the Truth and Transformation podcast, and I will swear, it's an adult-only podcast. So please, if you've got little ones around and it's not suitable, pause this now. I'll be waiting. Come back, listen to it later. This is the podcast about you living your truth, the liberation from doing that, and also utterly terrifying that is at times. So this is a podcast navigating that journey and how fulfilling it is, and also how confronting it is, and how it's not for the faint-hearted. I'm your host, Kirsty D. This is season 4. Welcome.
Hello, 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 lovely. Today I want to talk to you about self-talk, self-protection, and other people's opinions. I want to talk about when that inner critic comes up, and I've done like various episodes on this, but I feel like this could hopefully be like a really powerful transmission for you if you're listening to this, because I very recently, like literally today, had to walk myself through when the inner critic came up really loud, and my self-talk, not my like conscious self-talk, you know, when you have those intrusive thoughts, where the intrusive thoughts were very loud, very critical, very much like, you suck, Kirsty, you can't do this. And they were coming up really, really loud. And I managed to navigate myself through that. And I managed to navigate myself through that pretty quickly. Not that that matters if it had took some time. And the reason that I say that is because we can often be mean to ourselves of like how long it takes us. But like, I've been doing this work for years and years and years. And the reason I wanted to share that is that it happens to us all. It doesn't matter how much work you've done. Sometimes that inner critic, those intrusive thoughts will just come up, especially if you are really like stepping outside of your comfort zone. If you're doing something new, or you're doing something that feels quite gritty, I guess is the word that's coming to mind, like it's like really pushing you, like really stretching you. And for me, that is part of, you know, living your truth, going for things you want. It's like, I always say this, but it's not like a comfortable thing to do. It's just not. So when that, those intrusive thoughts and stuff come up, sometimes what can be really, really hard to do is separate that, like, you are not your thoughts, and that those thoughts you're having are not like truths, you know, that thought that tells you, you suck, you can't do this, like nobody likes you, or all of that. And the reason it's difficult is because whilst they're not ultimate truths, there can be validation in them. And what I mean by that is it will be able to find evidence to like back up those intrusive thoughts. So for instance, you might have the thought like, you're not likable, and you'll be able to find evidence of somebody that didn't like you. So whilst they're not ultimate truths, they have validation in them, which is why it can be really, really hard sometimes to not get taken down. So as I say, I had this experience where I was having like all these like intrusive thoughts come up, and it felt like it came out of nowhere. I was like feeling really good. I was having like a really great morning, feeling like really optimistic and all of that. And then all of a sudden, it was like it hit me, and it was like this wave of anxiety in my chest and in my heart. And it was like, you suck, this is rubbish, blah, blah, blah. And it was just really like criticizing everything that I was doing, and, you know, just like comparing myself, not necessarily consciously, but like when we're telling ourselves we suck, you know, it's usually in comparison to something, because it's like, otherwise, what, in comparison to what? Like, you know, if you're saying that you suck, it's like, well, compared to what? So that was happening for me. And as I say, I've been doing this work for years and years and years. So I'm very aware that I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my feelings, I'm not my emotions, but they were feeling really, really true. I could feel myself buying into it. I could feel the fear and the anxiety and everything rising. And as I say, it felt like it come really randomly, because I was like feeling really good. And like I say, it just hit me. And these things often do feel random, but they never are. It's like some fear, something's been activated, something's been triggered. So, and I was like, I just felt like absolutely exhausted, absolutely wiped. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to listen to my body, and I'm going to go and have a sleep. I'm going to listen to my body, I'm going to have a nap. And often that can be like the freeze response. It like shuts you down to so that you rest, so that you heal. And that is very common, you know, when people are like doing any kind of like healing work and stuff, you can often feel really, really tired and just want to like shut yourself off from the world. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to honour this, listen to my body, and I'm going to go and have a nap. And luckily Clark was at school, so that I could go and have a nap. And although he is old enough that if I said to him I needed to have a nap, you know, I could leave him for a little bit and he would just come and get me if he needed me and like watch telly or something. But I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to just have a sleep. And I woke up and it was still there. And there was these like anxious thoughts. And as I said, it was really, really hard for me to separate from the thoughts. You know, it was really hard for me not to buy into the thought of like, you suck, Kirsty, and like all of these things that were coming up. And I think a lot of people can relate to this when your fear like takes over and it's like being really, really harsh on yourself. And that's why I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this episode and I'm going to talk about it, because hopefully it will give you something that if this ever happens to you, or, you know, like you can come back to this episode and hopefully remember it if there's ever a time when your inner critic is like really going to town. So I was just like, right, okay, like we're not going to do this. I managed to bring myself from this place of like, okay, I'm not my thoughts, but it's really taking me down. Like, I know I'm not my thoughts, but I'm really feeling those things. I'm really feeling like, okay, that's true. I really do suck and I really can't do this. Like, I was really buying into the doubt. So I just put my hand on my heart and I just said to myself, like, what's going on? We're not doing this. And this is what came through. Call it spirit, call it intuition. When I acknowledged it, because that fear wanted to be seen. And the reason that I wanted to share this is because I think this is a collective thing when this happens. And what came through for me was like I'm rejecting myself, like I'm rejecting you to try to protect myself from the pain of other people rejecting me. And I was like, holy crap. Because I thought, oh my gosh, that just makes so much sense. Like, you're fearing other people's rejection, you're fearing other people's opinions, you're fearing other people not liking it, you're craving wanting to be seen and wanting to be recognized and wanting to be validated, which are just all normal human things. We actually need things from other people. We're an interdependent species. We need to feel seen and heard. That's how we thrive. We need attention. I know the world has like conditioned you that is bad. Sometimes I see posts and people are like, oh, that person's attention seeking and like all these things. And I get where it comes from, because we can seek attention in healthy ways, but actually we all need attention. And that can look different from person to person. You know, it can look like just needing somebody to be there and to listen, but it's still a form of attention. And it's just a very healthy human thing. We need each other. We need each other. That we're designed to be in community. So there is nothing wrong with you when these things happen. When you find that inner critic like really, really going to town, this is a very primal thing, and it's because you have needs, and because like it's trying to get those needs met. And what it does is it associates pain, that primal part of you, it associates that with death. Because like pain, you know, could mean you're injured, and it's job, your inner critic's job, your mind is not designed, your brain isn't designed to keep you happy, designed to keep you alive. I always quote that from Tony Robbins. So it sees pain as danger. So what was happening for me, it was like, oh, okay, like you're doing these things, you're putting yourself out there, you're doing this podcast, like you're doing this event, you're doing all these things, and it's going danger, 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 danger. And that's what can happen when you start living true to you and you go for these things. And it's like, it had like flagged up, okay, well, if you're doing this and you're going to be more seen, that means more rejection. Rejection is painful. Rejection equals death. That's what it was thinking. And this wasn't like a conscious thing, and that's why I'm sharing this, because as I said, it felt very random. But it actually wasn't random, because I was doing my work, and like I was, you know, promoting the Liberated event. And if you listen to this in real time on Friday, the Liberated event's the next day, so this is your last day to get tickets. And it was, and obviously the irony is the event's called, you know, Liberated and like stepping in. So that's, I've really been like living this the last few weeks. And what happens when you do that and you start living true to you and you start going like, what other people think of me is none of my business. And it's like, I'm going to go and live in a way that's right for me. But that primal part of you doesn't know it's safe. It doesn't know it's safe. And it comes up and it's trying to protect you. That inner critic, that like that part of you is not trying to bring you down. And the more we go against it, the more we just create this inner war within us and this resistance. So I didn't do that. I work to separate myself from my thoughts and to separate myself from that thought that was telling me that I suck and all of this. And as I say, that was like, it was difficult. And then I just went, okay, we're not doing this. What's going on? And that's when it came through. It was like, I'm trying to protect you. And in that, then you can give yourself like, oh my gosh, what do you need? And I just like put my hand on my heart and I was like, I got you. And it's something that I say to myself a lot. You probably heard me say that before on the podcast if you're a regular listener. And I was like, I'm proud of you. And it doesn't matter if some people don't like it and they don't get you. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, I am proud of you. And I brought in this, like, you know, this real loving self-talk and was like speaking to my inner child. And that's how we create safety. That's how we come back to regulation. Because you are going to get dysregulated at times, especially when you're moving out of your comfort zone and you're leaning into that stretch. And one of the quotes that came up for me is a Lisa Nichols quote. And the quote goes, I woke up to dinner, liked myself, so your like is extra. And I thought, imagine how different our lives would be and how much more empowered we would be if we were saying that to ourselves each and every day. I woke up today and I liked myself, so your like is extra. If that was our self-talk, if we were saying to ourselves, but I like you and I'm proud of you. And when something didn't work out the way we wanted it to go, what if we give ourselves love and compassion and like we learn from those things, but we weren't so harsh on ourselves. And, you know, like we really, really looked at ourselves with this, you know, admiration rather than always putting ourselves down. You know, that cliche, what if we spoke to ourselves like we spoke to a friend? What if we said really, really nice things to ourselves? What if we actually started celebrating ourselves and the things that we've done, regardless of the outcome, but celebrated ourselves for showing up? You know, you think of like, I don't know, like a young child and they paint a picture or do something and like people like celebrate them. But as we get older, we stop doing that. And the thing is with that as well, we do that with young kids and then we wonder why when they become older, they want that external validation. But we've trained people to do that from a really young age. Like I did the same thing with my kids and it's something that I'm really trying to wean them off now. But that was just like how I was like taught to parent. And we now know that, you know, when we do that a lot in parenting, that then those children and, you know, grow up to really want external validation, which as I say is a very normal human thing. We all do. We all need that, you know, as I say, outside kind of validation and attention, not because we're needy or anything like that. Well, actually, we're all needy. That's the thing. Every human is needy because every human has needs. And it's that thing of, you know, some more than others, but it's because of trauma and stuff. And actually, if we just supported people in helping them meet their needs, and obviously we have to be meeting our own needs. So this is where it comes to the self-talk. This is where it comes to the self-talk. It doesn't work if we are not talking to ourselves kindly, because as I always say, like wherever you go, there you are. So your self-talk and the way that you speak to yourself really, really, really matters. Like you have to speak to yourself kind if you want to thrive. You have to give yourself more grace when that inner critic comes up because it is trying to protect you. You know, often people like go to war with it. And as I say, then that just creates more resistance. But it learned to do that. That was how it learned to protect itself. Because if you get really, really taken down by your inner critic, what happens? You shrink. You don't take up space. The weight of other people's opinions take over. So then you don't take those risks. You don't take those leaps. And it doesn't know if those risks are safe. It doesn't know if, you know, somebody not liking it is safe for you. It doesn't know that they're not going to, like, hunt you down. It doesn't know that, you know, like, the witch trials are over. It doesn't know that. It doesn't know. So we have to create this safety and, you know, tell ourselves that if somebody doesn't like it, it's okay to grow thicker skin and to be able to handle rejection, but then also be careful with that self-talk and see the default stories and the default thoughts that tell us people won't like us or that we suck, and we have to question that. And as I say, it's because there is some validation in that some people won't like you, but it's looking at the default stories and being like, okay, but some people are. Like, you're not that chosen one that nobody's gonna like you and that everybody's gonna think you suck. So what we really have to look at is whose opinion is it? Like, whose opinion is it that we're trying to get? Whose approval are we trying to get? And it could be one person, it could be multiple people, it could be somebody that's not even with you anymore. Sometimes it's not uncommon for people to be still trying to, subconsciously, they're not aware of trying to get, like, a parent or grandparent or somebody's approval that's, like, passed away. And that's when we have to, like, decondition from that and really talk to ourselves kindly and really work on creating a relationship with ourselves where we can really, really like ourselves and see that really harsh inner dialogue and start questioning it and refuse to do it. And when I say refuse to do it, as I said, those intrusive thoughts, they may happen and you don't have that much control over it. But as soon as you become aware, you've got a choice and you don't have to carry it on. And this takes practice and it takes work. And sometimes when you're going through it, it can feel really exhausting. As I said, I had to, like, go and lie down. And then I woke up and I was like, we're not doing this again. And I, like, moved myself out of it. As soon as I recognized it was trying to protect me, I was actually just grateful for it. I was like, thank you for trying to protect me. We don't need to do this anymore. And then I was able to feel empowered because I could see what was happening. I didn't go to war with myself. I didn't be like, oh, you know, silly you, you're trying to protect yourself, there's no danger, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't do any of that. I didn't invalidate it. I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you for trying to protect me. Like, I got you. We're safe. It's okay if people don't like it and they reject you and they don't approve. And also, you know, some people are going to really like you and aren't going to really approve. And also, you actually don't need that. And you do in terms of, like, we all have needs for, you know, recognition and all of that. But you can seek it by being authentic to you. And those people are going to find you and, like, gravitate to you. But, like, I've got you. I've got you. In the meantime, and when I say in the meantime, it's not that I haven't got, you know, people around me that love me, but what I mean is, like, in that moment, it's like reassuring yourself, self-regulating yourself by breathing and feeling those things and, like, not pushing away. Like, I didn't go into it going, right, okay, we're not allowed to feel this. When I said we're not doing this anymore, the not doing it was the cycle of speaking mean to myself. I was like, okay, we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that. So next time you have those intrusive thoughts and that inner critic, like, comes up for you, recognize in some way, shape or form it's trying to protect you. Instead of fighting with it, see that, give yourself grace and compassion, question the thoughts, really look at the ones that you're buying into and where they come from, and allow yourself to feel everything that's coming up, and then be like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. And see when it's, like, down about other people's opinions, it's other people's stuff, it's conditioning that was put on you, and then remember that quote, I woke up to didn't like myself, so your like is extra. Because anybody liking you is extra. Is extra. You actually don't need it from everybody. but that part of you doesn't know that. It doesn't know that it's safe for your mother-in-law or your parent or whatever to not like it or not approve of something. And the other thing is, you might find people do, but we will never know that if we don't go for these things. But also, it is irrelevant. And yes, it's hard on our inner selves, but it's like, we make up all these stories that are often not true. And as I say, sometimes there's valid things in them, but sometimes it is literally just our brains trying to protect us. So think about how you're speaking to yourself. Think about your self-talk. Think about the words that you want to say to yourself, the affirmations that you want to give to yourself, because it matters, the things that you say to yourself. So, you know, start telling yourself, like, change the default pattern. Instead of saying, like, people don't like me, start changing it to people do like me. And when your brain finds evidence of, like, people don't, that's when you have to start cultivating new evidence by being true to you. But first of all, you liking you, you approving of you, you seeing your value. And listen to some of my previous episodes if you haven't already, because, you know, I talk about this and I talk about the gift of sensitivity and trauma healing and anger and rage and stuff. So there'll be like loads of things in there that you can like listen to help with this. But like, build up a relationship with yourself where you're like, I really like myself, because that's something I can say about myself. I really like myself. And that intrusive thought that I was having earlier wasn't me. That was my primal survival part. But because a lot wasn't me, because it's a part of me, as in it's like this part of me that's trying to protect me, I didn't fight with it because I'm grateful of it. I'm grateful that it's trying to protect me. So I didn't fight with it, but I got to a place where I was like, okay, this is not me and we're not doing this anymore. And then I spoke really, really kindly to myself and I said really nice things. So I said the words to myself that I needed to hear. Like, I like you, I approve of you. And not in this like bullshitty way, not in this like, oh, you always do everything right now, you always do everything perfect. Like, none of that, because that's not going to work. But in this like way of approving of myself and then looking at the things that I'm like, okay, well, let's tweak that. But just taking the perfectionism thing away and just actually being a friend to myself. And I really, really like me. I really, 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 really like myself. Like, I would hang out with me. Like, if I was not me, I don't know how else to explain this, and like I was somebody else, like, I'd want to hang out with me. And I think that's the best, one of the best places we can get to, where we'd actually want to, we have such a good relationship with ourselves that we'd want to hang around with ourselves. And if you're not in that place yet, then start doing this work. Start speaking to yourself kinder and do the work on yourself, not from this place of you're not enough, but from this place of that you are and you want to feel better and that you're worthy of that. I kind of think it's like, you know, when somebody like says that they love you and they care about you, but they don't treat you that way, it's kind of that. It's like treating yourself better. And every time you notice that you're doing or saying things that aren't actually good for you, you notice, instead of like being really then like mean on yourself for that, instead you kind of go, okay, what's going on? Because everything you do, I've been saying this a lot recently, like, we do it for a reason, and it's usually because we are reverting back to our comfort zone because we're scared and we're trying to self-soothe. We don't often realize we're doing this consciously, but it is like the things we do, it's like, okay, this feels unsafe. Like, this doesn't feel good, so I'm going to do, like, whether it's scroll our phone or whatever, and I've talked about this before, but that's generally what I will do. When I feel something and I'm struggling, like, I'll scroll through my phone, and that's my body's way of it. It's trying to self-soothe. Or sometimes it just doesn't want to do something, you know, whether it's housework or whatever, and it wants to do what's comfortable. And sometimes, like, you know, doing those like mundane tasks or whatever don't feel good. And it wants that hit. It wants to do the thing that feels good, but then it ends up not feeling good. And then you end up feeling overwhelmed because, you know, like, you've got all these things that you haven't done. And of course, we have to give ourselves permission to have breaks and to rest. And then often our self-talk will come up. So that's when we have to look at all these things and break the pattern and, like, I've been saying this a lot, but go micro and just make these little changes where we give ourselves grace and compassion. But we also, like, look at our habits and we look at our self-talk and we look at the things we're doing and we recognize when we're trying to protect ourselves and we're not going for things and we're staying in our comfort zone and we're worried about the opinions of others. And we proactively decide to change that, and it's not comfortable. And that's why there's resistance, because it's not comfortable. And it's loving ourselves enough to go beyond the comfort zone because we care about ourselves. Because we care about ourselves. And you've got to start treating yourself like you're somebody that matters and somebody that you care about, because you're never going to feel particularly good if you don't do that. So I'm going to end it there. I'm going to, like, get on and focus on the Liberated event now. So I will tell you next week how it went next Friday, because me and Tony are doing the podcast early before the Liberated event, so I can just fully focus on that. So I'm excited to tell you about that all next Friday, but I just hope you have the most wonderful day or evening, depending on when you're listening to this, and I will speak to you very soon. Namaste.